infidelity, immorality, and idolatry. They were all rampant in the period of time into which God's man by the name of Isaiah was called to minister. There had been a widespread departure from the law of God and a widespread setting aside of the word of God and the morals of God's law. Sin was raging, sin was rampant, sin was reigning in the land at this time. And Isaiah was called to minister to such a people and to such a nation. You see, instead of running after God, the people ran after sin. Instead of pursuing a holy life, they pursued a life of wickedness and a life of evil. This was no easy task as you read through this book. This was not easy circumstances in which this man ministered. But as you read the pages of this book, you will see the passion that Isaiah had for the propagation and for the promotion of the Word of God. Yet as a man, he was also desirous to strengthen and to encourage the people of God, those who sought to remain faithful to God, even in such a time of falling away. In Isaiah chapter 1, he speaks of a remnant, a small group of people who loved the Lord, a group of people who remained true to God despite all the spiritual darkness and departure in the land. And it is to this group of people, it is to this remnant of people that Isaiah is addressing here in this 50th chapter. These were people who were seeking to walk in the old paths, seeking to walk in the ways of righteousness, walk in the pathway that God had for them. However, as they lived their Christian life, they came across times of despair, periods of great anguish of soul and times of very real anxiety. The pain of their heart was most real. Because right there in the middle of verse 10, we read, that walketh in darkness. These were people who were walking in darkness. People who were living in darkness, people who were serving the Lord in darkness. For the rest of our time that is before us this morning, I want us very simply, and I pray by way of encouragement and exhortation to us all, to look at the subject of the Christian walking in darkness. Perhaps today that sums up your life. You're walking, living, serving God, but it is in darkness. And I want to say to you today, if that is the case, then I want you to know that there is hope, that there is an answer, that there is relief. It may not always be from the darkness, but most certainly and most surely in the darkness. Christians walking in darkness. The first thing I want you to see with me here in verse 10 is the description of the subject. The description of the subject. In the opening clauses of verse 10, the one to whom the prophet is speaking, and of course ultimately whom the Holy Ghost is speaking to, is described. The subject of this verse, the one who's being addressed here. Who is it? Look at verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? This description of the one who is walking in darkness is very intriguing. It's very interesting. This darkness, which is spoken of here, and we will come to it more in a moment's time, but this darkness is not the darkness of sin. Sin, by its very nature, is most dark and most disturbing. Sin manifests itself in the darkness. Some of the most cruel and awful sins are carried out under the cover of darkness. Sin is darkness. But that is not the darkness made mention of here in this verse. Neither is this the darkness of backsliding. That darkness which engulfs the soul of the one who's walking afar from God. That darkness which must be avoided. Because I tell you, to lose communion and to lose that fellowship with God is a very dark place. We should avoid it at all costs. And if that is your current situation today, you are backslidden in heart, you are cold in heart towards the Lord, then you need to get back to the Lord. You need to get things right in your heart and life. You need to get back to where you left off with the Lord. You need to get back in fellowship with the Lord. But the darkness here is not the darkness of backsliding. Nor is this the darkness of a nation or a people who have turned their back on God or turned away from the law of God, turned to all sorts of evil. That was certainly the case in the nation as a whole. There was spiritual darkness. We can surely concur with such views on that, such thoughts on that in our own nation, in our own city. But that is not the darkness here in view in Isaiah 50 and the verse 10. The darkness in view here is those who are living for God out and out. Those who are in communion with God, those who are in the very center of the will of God, serving God, those who fear the Lord, those who obey the Lord. That is to whom these words are written. The one who fears the Lord, as verse 10 says, not with that slavish fear, but with a reverential fear, a fear of the awesome nature and the almighty majesty of the God whom they love and serve. Those who fear the name of the Lord, those who fear the greatness of God, and those who, as a result of their fear, serve the Lord with their whole hearts and love the Lord with their whole hearts. Those who week after week are found in the house of God, found in the place of prayer, never miss the meetings, the services of worship, busy in the master's business, active in the service of God. That's the outworking of the fear of God in the lives of such people. You know, one of the big problems today, not only with society, but also with the church, is that there is no fear of God. There is no reverential fear, no regard for God, for His worship, for His house, for His people, for His name. If we feared God in the way that we ought, then we would do things differently. You look at society today, and that which is most clearly absent is this fear of God. Man lives today as if God doesn't exist. Man lives today as if man has no relationship to God. Man believes he has no relationship to God. And if there is a God, well, it has no impact. It has no bearing upon him. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth. There is no fear of God. And oh, for a greater fear of God. And not only in society, but even in all of our hearts who take the name of the Lord and love the Lord. Oh, for a greater fear of God. Oh, for a greater sense of who God is and all that God is. Because such a fear, reverential regard for Him, will put things right. But these people who are walking in darkness, they are people who fear the Lord. They are people who fear God's word. They are people who tremble at God's word. And when that word is so clearly and so definitely spoken to them, they have a godly fear of His word. But even as they fear God, yet they're walking in darkness. Darkness. They not only fear God, but in verse 10, we read that they also obey the voice of His servant. They obey the voice of his servant. Now, the servant in view here in verse 10, it's not the preacher, it's not the evangelist, it's not the children's worker, it's not the minister, it's not the pastor, the outreach worker, all of course, they are servants of God as we all are. Isaiah himself does not set himself forth as the servant, although of course he most certainly was a servant of God. Now the servant here in verse 10 is the perfect servant of God, who of course is the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in Isaiah 42 in the verse 1, God says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, my elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." A reference to the Son of God. The one who, according to Philippians 2 and 7, made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Therefore, the one who fears God also obeying the voice of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that the one who is listening to what Christ is saying and the one who is obeying what Christ wants them to do. The one who's being addressed is willing to listen and willing to act. This is not a rebellious child of God. This is not a wayward child of God. This is not someone doing their own thing and going their own way. No, this is someone who lives their life in accordance to the will of God, the rule of God. And yet as they do so, they're walking in darkness. Walking in darkness. And I labor that point for those few moments because I feel it's very important. It is to this God-fearing, Christ-honoring, obedient child of God who is walking in darkness. And folks, that's a very important point to take note of and never forget. Because our land today is becoming cursed with this prosperity gospel, this health and wealth gospel. And they come to us and they tell us, if you're walking in darkness today, then there must be something wrong in your life. God must be judging you for some sin. Now, there are times, of course, when God has to bring us into line. And God has to bring us back to himself through the hard circumstances of life. But that's not always the case. Isaiah is saying to those who fear the Lord, to those who obey the voice and the commands of God, to those who live their lives according to the Word of God, we are not immune. We are not immune from the trials of life. Not immune from the dark periods that are common to all men. Well, the old devil will come to the child of God during this time of darkness. Those times when you read the Bible and there's no apparent light, those times when you pray and there's no immediate relief, and the old devil will tell you God has forsaken you, and God has given up from you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Faithful Christians face dark days as well. The man after God's own heart, David the psalmist, found himself in a very dark cave. Job, the man who had that perfect testimony from God himself, was in a dark day when his family, his finances, his wealth, his health were all taken from him. And he says, "He hath fenced up my way that I cannot pass. He hath set darkness in my paths." Some of the dearest and some of the best of God's people are asked to carry very, very heavy burdens, asked to walk in very dark pathways. And maybe even today, unknown to those around you, you love the Lord with all your heart, and you're seeking to serve him in this congregation and with your life. that you're walking in darkness. Oh, don't listen to the lies of the devil when he comes to you and tells you you're finished and you're a failure. You shouldn't be like this. This is not the manner in which you should be living. This verse 10 brands the devil a liar. Good people, godly people, Christian people have dark days as well. The description of the subject. But I want you to come into this verse again and see not only the description of the subject, but now notice the darkness here of the soul that walketh in darkness. This darkness, we emphasize again, is not the darkness of sin. It's the darkness of trouble and the darkness of perplexity, with which we all at times can be surrounded. The darkness of gloom, and there is no apparent light of consolation. You see, if we follow Christ, if we serve Him, and we love Him, then at times that pathway may lead us into periods of darkness. You trace the accounts of God's people, and often, very many of them will be caused to walk through these periods of darkness. Jeremiah, a man called of God, a man who labored in such hard and difficult times, for 40 years he preached and no one listened. Elijah, a man who saw the fire from heaven fall, and yet just a few hours later, he's in the valley of despair under the juniper tree and wanting God to take his life. It was a dark time for him. And so God, in his divine providence and plan for we his people, does allow us to walk through such dark days. But even in the darkness, we can experience the goodness, and we can know the grace of God through it all. We can experience God in a way that we would not have experienced in the days of sunshine and in the days of happiness. These days are trials of grace, because the darkness can cause fear. It can create a sense of hopelessness. In the darkness, there seems to be no end. It seems darker and darker. And all, of course, all those questions come to your mind. What am I doing here? Why are these things happening to me? Well, the darkness is very real. It's not imaginary. It's not something or somewhere that you would choose to be of yourself. But nonetheless, it's a very real situation. That darkness can take so many different forms. It can be darkness emotionally, and the mind is full of darkness, and you find yourself emotionally in a very dark place. That's where Elijah was. There's also the darkness physically. Some pain, some bodily affliction that has overcome your body, and you're in pain physically, and that's a very dark place. There's also the darkness ecclesiastically. The church, the spiritual state of the church, is dark and despondent, and then that pervades into the darkness nationally. Because of that darkness, the child of God can become perplexed at the great darkness of the land, and that's right and proper. When it seems that so little is happening by way of spiritual advancement, and that can be a great darkness to the child of God. All these are different types of darkness that we can face and that we are confronted with and often found in. The hymn writer said, "Days of darkness still come o'er me, and sorrow's paths I often tread. But his presence still is with me. By his guiding hand I'm led." These are trials of grace, trials of our faith. And yet these are opportunities for us to prove God, to prove the grace of God, and to ride on the crest of the wave that would threaten to wreck us. The darkness of trouble, this darkness of perplexity, in which at times we can be surrounded, it may seem a surprising condition. It may seem a surprising circumstance for the child of God. Does the child of God, the child of light, walk in darkness? The normal condition of the child of light is to walk in the light as God is in the light and to have blessed fellowship with Him. Why then this darkness? Folks, I don't have that answer. But I do know this, that as for God, His way is perfect. His way is perfect. This darkness of suffering, this darkness of sorrow, this darkness of sadness, that which is the common lot of all people, is also experienced by the people of God. God hath not promised skies always blue. Flower-strewn pathways all are lies through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, and light for the way, grace for the trials and help from above, unfailing sympathy, unfailing love. He has not promised to His people, as someone has said, a smooth sailing to glory. But He has promised a safe landing in glory. He has a purpose in allowing every circumstance, every dark cloud, every difficult day and every dark night that comes to your life and mine. Remember, we are a work in progress. God is not done with us. God is molding us. God is making us even in the darkness. And one day, very soon, He'll return to this earth. The trumpets will sound, and for those who are alive and remain, our little ship will leave this sea of time and land immediately on the shores of eternity. Christ was in a dark place as well. A place of great sorrow, a place of great pain as He neared the cross. And His heart was exceedingly sorrowful even unto death and on the cross. On the cross, during those hours of darkness, Christ suffered. Suffered. Forsaken by His Father. As the rod of God's wrath was laid upon Him. Why? With the purpose and with the intention to redeem us back to God, to reconcile us, to save us, to pay the price for our sin. And child of God, today we've got to always remember what we are in Christ. Remember what Christ has done for us, redeeming us from the darkness and the blackness of sin. And saving our souls from hell, bringing us into that right relationship with God for time and for eternity. And if you're in the darkness today of trouble and sorrow, always remember your standing in Christ. Always remember your salvation through Christ. Remember your surety because of Christ. You're saved, you're redeemed, you're justified, you're accepted before God on the merits of Christ. Let that truth penetrate and permeate our souls every day, every moment of every day. We belong to the Lord. You're a child of the King. You're a member of the family of God. Yes, there will be days of darkness, but such days will never affect your standing in Christ. Maybe today you're in that darkness of soul, that difficulty, that concern, that sickness, that pain, that sorrow. It's darkness to you. Well, remember what God has promised. He's promised His peace in the darkness. Peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Promised is peace. It's promised his presence in the darkness. He said, I'll never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. He has promised his power to bring you through the darkness back into the light. He has promised the help and the aid of the comfort of the Spirit of God to bring you through and to keep you from falling. The description of the subject, the darkness of the soul, but finally, I want you to see the delight of the Savior. What are the words of counsel? What is the advice in the darkness? Where is the delight in the darkness? Is there delight in the darkness? Well, there is. Look at the end of verse 10. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Oh, but preacher, there must be something more. There must be other things to do. It surely cannot be that simple. There must be another way out. Is that it? Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust in the name of the Lord, as the verse says. What does that mean? It means to acknowledge that He is God. That He is the unchanging God. Oh, we walk from darkness to light and light to darkness. We change, but no change Jehovah knows. He says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, or because of that, ye sons of Jacob were not consumed. And when you cannot see another inch ahead of you, trust in Him who sees the way, who knows the way, and will lead you in the way. He'll take you by the hand and lead you to that better land. He's your dwelling place in all generations. He's the rock in which we stand, no matter how dark or no matter how difficult our living for Christ may become. What God has done in the past, God can do again. And when you can't see your way, open the book of God and see what God has done in the past. See what God did and what He has promised to do in the present. When in the darkness of that night at Peniel, when old Jacob wrestled with God, and through the darkness of the night, yet God brought him through and God did something wonderful for Jacob in the darkness. God touched him. God changed him for the better in the darkness of that night. And even in the darkness of the night, God has something greater for you, something more wonderful for you, something for you to discover that you would not have found out in the sunshine of blessing. The day of adversity for the child of God. The day of darkness, it's not a day of spiritual darkness because we always can trust God, even if we do not know the way He is leading. The delight of the Savior in the darkness is felt and known more when we lean more and more on Him, when we rely more and more on Him, when we make Him our absolute and our only rest and dependence. Have faith in God. That not only applies in salvation, but also in our everyday living for Christ. These words of verse 10, trust and stay, they're more than a mere instruction, they are a command. Trust God. Don't trust yourself, that'll be of no benefit. Trust God. Keep your mind stayed and focused on Him at all times. And like Job was able to say, lo, He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Keep trusting in the darkness. Keep walking in the darkness. Oh, don't give up. That's the teaching of this verse here. Walketh, it means that which is presently done and will continue to be done. Keep on walking with God. Keep on living for God. Don't give up on God. Don't give up on your service for God. Take God at His word, and you will never be disappointed. Trust God with your whole heart. Be confident that He is leading you right. And even when you can't, and you don't understand the way He is leading, trust God in the darkness. Prove God in the darkness. So that when that darkness gives way to light, and your night of darkness passes, you'll be able to see it was all of God. He brought you through. Stand on the promises in the darkness, and the light will arise. Can I say to those who are here without Christ, those who are not saved today, you are in spiritual darkness. And that's an awful darkness to be in. Because in your darkness, there is no apparent hope, but thank God there is. There is hope in Christ. You need the light of the gospel. You need to be saved. You need to be right with God. You need to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to come away from this spiritual darkness and come into the light of the gospel. And to those who love the Lord, serving the Lord, saved by God's grace, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. You may be in that darkness today, a darkness of trouble, a darkness of sorrow, a darkness of heartache and heartbreak. Praise God, we can still prove God, and we must prove God and continue to walk with Him. Continue to allow Him to lead the way. Trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon God. And may God be able and enable us so to do, even in the darkness. May God bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee today for the instruction of Thy word. We praise Thee, O God, that even though at times we as God's people may walk in the darkness, yet we thank Thee, O God, that we do not walk alone. We thank Thee, O God, that we can prove the sufficiency of God's grace. I know that God is bringing us through and leading us aright. Oh God, we pray for those who may be in such a place today. We ask, oh God, that You'll come to them and give them that help and that strength to keep on walking. And oh God, we pray that the light of Thy presence will cheer the way. Encourage Thy dear people, we ask of Thee. We pray, oh God, that You'll speak as well to those who today who are in spiritual darkness. We pray, O God, that the light of the gospel will shine into their hearts. We pray, O God, that You'll save them and do that work in their hearts which only Thou canst do. Lord, teach us and instruct us and continue to speak on to us, we pray. We ask it in Thy name and for Thine eternal glory. Amen.